Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 64. From sense to soul, my pathway lies before me. From mist and shadow into truth's clear day. The dawn of all things real is breaking o'er me. My heart is singing. I have found the way. Hymn number 64. This evening's topic is called Reverse It, the Bible, Psalms. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. Luke. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill, whereon their city was built. And that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Luke. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Daniel. Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Psalms. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. 2 Kings. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dotham. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, that they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Psalms. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Romans. For I delight in thy law of God after the inward man. 1 Timothy. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Psalms. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Divine science reverses the false testimony of the material senses and thus tears away the foundations of error. Hence the enmity between science and the senses, and the impossibility of attaining perfect understanding till the errors of sense are eliminated. Matter and its claims of sin, sickness, and death are contrary to God and cannot emanate from Him. There is no material truth. The physical senses can take no cognizance of God and spiritual truth. Human belief has sought out many inventions, but not one of them can solve the problem of being without the divine principle of divine science. Deductions from material hypotheses are not scientific. They differ from real science because they are not based on the divine law. Science reverses the false testimony of the physical senses, and by this reversal, mortals arrive at the fundamental facts of being. Then the question inevitably arises, is a man sick if the material senses indicate that he is in good health? No, for matter can make no conditions for man. And is he well if the senses say he is sick? Yes, he is well in science, in which health is normal and disease is abnormal. Health is not a condition of matter, but of mind. Nor can the material senses bear reliable testimony on the subject of health. The science of mind healing shows it to be impossible for aught but mind to testify truly or to exhibit the real status of man. Therefore, the divine principle of science, reversing the testimony of the physical senses, reveals man as harmoniously existent in truth, which is the only basis of health. And thus science denies all disease, heals the sick, overthrows false evidence, and refutes materialistic logic. Any conclusion, pro or con, deduced from supposed sensation in matter, or from matter's supposed consciousness of health or disease, instead of reversing the testimony of the physical senses, confirms that testimony as legitimate, and so leads to disease. The evidence of the physical senses often reverses the real science of being, and so creates a reign of discord, assigning seeming power to sin, sickness, and death. But the great facts of life, rightly understood, defeat this triad of errors, contradict their false witnesses, and reveal the kingdom of heaven, the actual reign of harmony on earth. The material senses, reversal of the science of soul, was practically exposed 1900 years ago by the demonstrations of Jesus. Yet these so-called senses still make mortal mind tributary to mortal body and ordain certain sections of matter, such as brain and nerves, as the seats of pain and pleasure, from which matter reports to this so-called mind its status of happiness or misery. When sin or sickness, the reverse of harmony, seems true to material sense, in part without frightening or discouraging the patient, the truth and the spiritual understanding which destroy disease, expose and denounce the claims of evil and disease in all their forms, but realize no reality in them. A sinner is not reformed merely by assuring him that he cannot be a sinner, because there is no sin. To put down the claim of sin, you must detect it. Remove the mask, point out the illusion, and thus get the victory over sin, and so prove its unreality. The sick are not healed merely by declaring there is no sickness, but by knowing that there is none. A sinner is afraid to cast the first stone. He may say, as a subterfuge, that evil is unreal. But to know it, he must demonstrate his statement. Nerves are not the source of pain or pleasure. We suffer or enjoy in our dreams, but this pain or pleasure is not communicated through a nerve. Why need pain rather than pleasure come to this mortal sense? Because the memory of pain is more vivid than the memory of pleasure. I have seen an unwitting attempt to scratch the end of a finger which had been cut off for months. When the nerve is gone, which we say was the occasion of pain, and the pain still remains, it proves sensation to be in the mortal mind, not in matter. Reverse the process. Take away this so-called mind instead of a piece of the flesh, and the nerves have no sensation. How true it is that whatever is learned through material sense must be lost, because such so-called knowledge is reversed by the spiritual facts of being in science. That which material sense calls intangible is found to be substance. What to material sense seems substance becomes nothingness as the sense dream vanishes and reality appears. The fundamental propositions of divine metaphysics are summarized in the four following, to me, self-evident propositions. Even if reversed, these propositions will be found to agree in statement and proof, showing mathematically their exact relation to truth. 1. God is all in all. 2. God is good. Good is mind. 3. God, spirit, being all, nothing is matter. 4. Life, God, omnipotent good, deny death, evil, sin, disease. Disease, sin, evil, death, deny good, omnipotent God, life. Which of the denials in proposition 4 is true? Both are not, cannot be true. According to the scripture, I find that God is true, but every mortal man a liar. The divine metaphysics of Christian science, like the method in mathematics, proves the rule by inversion. For example, there is no pain in truth, and no truth in pain. No nerve in mind, and no mind in nerve. No matter in mind, and no mind in matter. No matter in life, and no life in matter. No matter in good, and no good in matter. Usage classes both evil and good together as mind, therefore to be understood, the author calls sick and sinful humanity mortal mind, meaning by this term the flesh opposed to spirit, the human mind and evil in contradistinction to the divine mind or truth and good. The spiritually unscientific definition of mind is based on the evidence of the physical senses, which makes minds many and calls mind both human and divine. The verity of mind shows conclusively how it is that matter seems to be, but is not. Divine science, rising above physical theories, excludes matter, resolves things into thoughts, and replaces the objects of material sense with spiritual ideas. We must reverse our feeble flutterings, our efforts to find life and truth in matter, and rise above the testimony of the material senses, above the mortal to the immortal idea of God. These clearer, higher views inspire the godlike man to reach the absolute center and circumference of his being. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let's sing another hymn. Hymn number 134. I look to thee in every need, and never look in vain. I feel thy touch, eternal love, and all is well again. The thought of thee is mightier far than sin and pain and sorrow are. Hymn number 134.
I love.
good evening, and welcome to those that have joined us on the call-in line. We are so happy that you are there. I really don't have any new announcements. I just want to let you know, if you would like to have a copy of the lesson, you can email me at jeanbates@me.com. And also, if you missed this Wednesday service, you can get online at any time at carmelcs.org and listen to the lesson there. Loli has the microphone. I couldn't remember who was holding. You have to hold that up sooner. Loli has the microphone, and if you feel more comfortable staying seated, please do so. It's now your turn to share thoughts or testimonies of healing that you may have had. Make sure that you hold the microphone nice and close to your mouth so everyone online can hear and everybody in the audience here can hear. Now it's your turn.
Thank you for your readings. Really powerful lesson tonight. I remember this is back in the dinosaur age, back before cell phones in the late 70s. And I was in extreme pain. And the first reader of our church in Denver, Fixed Church, was also a practitioner. And I called immediately, and his wife answered and said, "I'm sorry, he's not here. He's on his way to his office. He won't be there for, 30 minutes or so." And I don't remember what the claim was, but I know I was in pain. And I said, I really need help here. And her loving thought just said, "Well, I really can't pray for you, but I can tell you that if you just reverse your thinking, if you just reverse whatever the claim is, that will bring to light the truth of the situation." And I took her words to heart. Again, back in the Stone Age, I got out my concordance to science and health and looked up different words that had reversal. And it's hard when you're in pain and it's blaring, shouting at you to reverse that. But once I was able to get still and know that God was right with me, and reversed my thinking to understand that I was not a material in pain, but I was a spiritual image and likeness of God, the immediate expression of the Father, Mother, God, that it just broke the mesmerism of the pain, and I was quickly healed. I remember, and when I finally got a hold of the practitioner, I said, "Hey, I don't need your help. I've been healed. Your wife helped me out by telling me to reverse the situation." And as I was sitting here tonight listening to your lesson, you had so many wonderful examples of reversing our thought from Mrs. Eddy, really one of the key words throughout science and health. And I was thinking, isn't that what Jesus did? That Christ was saying, repent, reverse, change radically your thinking, reverse your thinking, and understand God. And it just is a wonderful thing to experience a Christian Science healing and understand that the omnipotence and ever presence of divine love that's with us at every moment, that we can call on it to eliminate our erroneous thought once we've reversed it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the readings. I agree with Scott. They were really powerful. And I had a lot of the same thoughts when I was listening to them. And again, I get a chance, of course, to look at the hymns when you send them to me. And I always read them over and try to piece together the common thread. And again, they're beautiful selections again tonight. I guess it's just kind of a way of the world that if you drive enough, that you have an opportunity to be in an altercation now and then. And I've shared testimonies of being in altercations before, and I have always mentioned being protected and feel strongly about being protected by his love in so many things. And last Saturday night, I was in another altercation. I was not in Uber mode. I was just driving out of Broad Ripple, and I got squeezed between two trucks, a truck on one side and then a Jeep-like truck on my other side. And I was just sitting there at this light, and the one truck was on my left-hand side, way in the turn lane to turn left. So he was just sitting there. I was just sitting there. And the other lane on this side, if we're familiar with Broad Ripple Avenue, is always continually a turn lane onto the various streets. And the gentleman that was in that vehicle didn't realize that was a turn-only lane. And when he did, he wanted to make the move to get into the going straight line, which was where I was at. And I have a dark gray car, and he said that he just never saw me. And it happened in my part of it. I'm in there. It's just like, you know, snap of the fingers, twinkle of the eye. And I certainly was protected. There are two big vehicles. I was pushed into the vehicle on the left by that's how the amount of impact that came from the other car at the truck. And it happened, and then it was over. And so I just sat there for a second, and I thought about the word that was in my mind was his protection. So I didn't think about protected by his love, or this is just the word protection was in my mind, just like protected again or protection or something. And so I made my way to get out of the car, and I could not get out. My door wouldn't open on my right hand side. And I had pushed the truck to the degree that I was not up against the truck. And so I had to climb out of the car through the passenger side, which I was able to do. And there was some anxiety on the part of the other two drivers. And they wanted to know, as this kind of unfolded, they wanted to kind of understand why I was not as upset as they were, being that I was kind of the one person that had moved over was very upset because he was afraid that he had done something bad to me with the impact that he hit me with. And I think maybe thought I would be upset with him, but of course I wasn't. I was not upset with anybody. It was just, it happened. It was over. Everybody was protected. Everybody drove away in their own vehicle after we exchanged all the information. And, you know, we truly were all protected. And, you know, when you have this conversation with friends and family, they are concerned. Those that unfortunately are not members of the church or come to the church or such or hold the faith. And, of course, a number of my friends and family are in that mode. And, you know, all I could share with them, as I have shared before, was that, you know, because I'm protected, you know, and I'm not going to be in a compromised situation. It's just not going to happen. I might have another altercation 3 months from now, but that's not a perfect ideal in my mind. That's an imperfect ideal, and it doesn't come. I don't feel compromised in those situations as I'm out there, and I see things happen. I drove all day, not all day, but I drove a considerable amount of time Saturday in pouring rain. And the things that I saw on the road, as far as things other drivers did, I could have been in altercations really all day long. And I thought about that at the point. But you know what? In every instance, even in those, I was protected. I wasn't involved in those. And when the time did come, I was protected. I wasn't compromised, not one iota, not a bump, not a bruise, not a hurt, you know, not anything. Nobody else was either. So it's not just, and that's what I told my family. It's not just about me. I said nobody in that. I said that was two trucks and a car. I mean, I don't know what a recipe for that is, but I said everybody walked away, and everybody drove away. And it was just a, you know, I can't explain it. I mean, I was, it was, surreal is not, I don't mean that in an unscientific way, but it was just a lot to take in. I took in a lot in a very short period of time. And where was I headed? I came out of Broad Ripple. I had turned Uber off. Where was I headed? Well, I was headed to the church to practice. Saturday night, you know, come to the church, practice, you know, get the solo ready, practice the hymns, so on and so forth. So where did I come right after that? I came right to the church. I got to play hymns. I got to be in this, the aura of this church, the love of this church, with Mary Baker Eddy and the hymns and the thought about the lesson, which I heard, you know, and read. So it's just, I like to share this only because I think that protection is so important. I just think it's so protection. I sat in here one night years ago at a Wednesday night meeting, and you know how it is that somebody will strike a tone in a testimony, and then all the other ones just kind of pick up off of it. And the tone that night was protection, 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 to the degree, and again, not because I did it, but to the degree that I was inspired to write a song, Protected by His Love. And that song embodies my thoughts about being protected by God, by His love. And that message, I tell you what, I try to get that out whenever I can. You know, when I hear about things other people are in, when I share my own situations, just, you know, because this is not the only manner of which I've ever been protected. I'm protected in so many, you know, I've not had any kind of compromised health issue this whole summer or spring, fall, winter, with temperatures up and down and so on and so forth, being around lots of different people and different things. I'm protected in a number of ways, very many ways, as are we all. And that's the message. That's the understanding, you know, that we're all protected. And it's a loving thought for me to get to share that with all of you. And I'm so thankful that I have a way and an area and a group of loving people that I get to share that with, because you all mean so much to me. And part of that protection is knowing that aura of love from you is all around me as well. So thank you very much for your readings tonight. Thank you for allowing me to share this testimony and to share protection with everybody here.
Thank you.
I'll share a testimony that was given this afternoon, listening to the testimony meeting from the Mother Church, and the listeners to that situation are global. And it was perhaps a simple but a profound testimony from a woman in Nicaragua. And of course, we hear about Nicaraguans and all that's going on in places like that, and it's wonderful to know that there are those who are studying Christian Science. And it was about protection. She was headed with her husband. He had an appointment and she was going with him. And before leaving the house, she had put tomatoes to boil on the stove because they were going to have tomato soup. And as they were headed to the appointment, she suddenly realized she had not turned off the stove. So he let her off at a spot where normally there are lots of taxis. And she had to pray because it took a few minutes before a taxi showed up. And, of course, she was knowing that God's protection was everywhere, as the previous testifier spoke of. And when she got home, everything smelled burny, but was safe, and the water had completely disappeared in the pot. She peeled the skins off the tomatoes, and when her husband got home that evening, they had their tomato soup, and all was well. But to me, the impressive thing was that here's somebody in Nicaragua that's reading and listening about Christian Science and applying it. And to me, that's just amazing, and using it in whatever circumstance they find themselves in. And so that protection that the previous speaker spoke about, or reversing, as the lesson brought out, it's going on around the world, and we're grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's conclude our service by singing the last hymn, hymn number 85. I'll read the second verse. Open now our eyes to see, as the clouds of sense are riven, we behold reality, know the glory of thy heaven. So we seek thy perfect healing through the truth of thy revealing. Hymn number 85.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientus Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.